We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
For dominion. Amen. The threefold call for dominion: prayer, fasting, and giving. How many of you were around last Sunday? Okay. Prayer, fasting, and giving, the threefold call for dominion. Alright. We won't go into Matthew 6 like I said, but Jesus mentioned three things in his teaching, and he added when. He says, when you pray, when you give alms, when you pray, and when you fast. And then we got to Acts 10, I believe. Acts chapter 10, the story of Cornelius. We saw that Cornelius was a man who was a devout man who gave alms regularly. And on this particular day, at the hour of prayer, he was praying when he had an encounter with an angel of the Lord who told him, say, Cornelius, your prayer and your almsgiving has come up as a memorial. Glory to God. As a memorial. As a memorial, meaning as a monument. That means sometimes, as when we engage in these things, we are building a monument before God, and something is towering towards heaven. Glory to God. It's like building stature with God. So sometimes it may look as though nothing very big is happening immediately. Know that you are building something. Glory to God. It says your almsgiving, your prayer has come up before God as a monument, as a memorial. Hallelujah. Times of prayer, times of fasting, a culture of giving builds a memorial. Hallelujah. It builds a stature that towers towards heaven. One day God is going to open the book of remembrance. Glory to God forevermore. And bigger things will begin to happen. Amen. And that's to encourage someone. Don't say, I've been praying. If you've been praying, there are immediate benefits of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, I've been fasting, I've been giving, as though nothing is happening. The Bible says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. The angel told Cornelius, your almsgiving and your prayer has come up as a memorial, as a statue before God. And we saw in the 30th verse of that 10th chapter of book of Acts that he was actually fasting. He was also fasting on that day. So we see the three things with Cornelius, and that created an atmosphere for him to receive the greatest miracle, which is salvation. All right, God had to break the rules. Okay, and he became the first Gentile to come in. God had to appear to Peter and condition and give him a vision, a trance actually, to he brought the four-footed the sheet with forbidden animal. He said, kill and eat. And he says, no, Lord. That's the power of tradition. Amen. Imagine, he knew he was Lord, but he was arguing with him. Tradition is very powerful, isn't it? He says, no, Lord. So he knew he was Lord. Showing, he said, no, Lord, I don't eat this kind of thing. After God told him, kill, and he said, no, Lord. So don't be surprised when you are dealing with tradition. It takes time to break. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. All right, we went further to talk about prayer first. Prayer, fasting, and then giving. Okay, prayer, we said, was I talking about the five things prayer was designed to do? Amen. We said the first is prayer was designed for what? Fellowship and communion or communication. Communication and fellowship. Number two, prayer was designed revelation, insight, and light. I said many things, so we're just running through. You can get the materials if you're nowhere else. Number three, we say prayer was designed to charge your battery power. That was where we ended, and we got a praying. We say prayer was designed to charge your battery power. And I told you that there are no powerless Christians. There are only Christians with low batteries. Can you remember? And I told you that the power installed when you got born again and received the Holy Ghost works like a battery. Amen. He works like a battery. Is there but needs to be charged. Hallelujah. And we gave the illustration with the phone. Okay, the fact that someone's phone is 3% doesn't mean something is wrong. He's going to have difficulty in browsing, in doing certain things because it's just 3% or 2%. It doesn't mean something is wrong with the phone. It doesn't mean the phone cannot browse. It doesn't mean the phone is bad. What do you need to do to the phone? You charge it. Hallelujah. You charge it. And when you charge the phone to 100%, you have efficiency. Amen. There's optimization, they call it. Optimum use. Because the phone is charged. And we said in the place of prayer, God designed prayer to charge our battery power. When he says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's Acts chapter 1 verse 8, right? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's real. It happened. The day you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. But there are days you feel powerless. Amen. Or there are times you try to release a power and nothing is happening. You say, be healed. Things change. And it's as though nothing is happening. And we'll talk about the second kind of power, which is authority. In St. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 12, I believe, 11 and 12. As many as receiving, to them gave he what? Power, authority, power, exousia, to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. But say this true power needs to be charged from time to time, from optimum use. And prayer is what? Socket power. You remember? When you get into the place of prayer, it's like plugging your phone to a socket. Oh, hallelujah. When you get praying, get worshiping, get into God's word, you are charging your battery power. Because God expects us to cause changes. Actually, power simply means dynamic ability to cause changes. Dynamic ability to cause changes. That's what dunamis means. And God expects us to apply the power to cause changes in our environment, in our world, in our generation, in our personal lives. Hallelujah. So we get to charge. You say prayer is designed for the charging of our battery power. All right. Praying in tongues. I just wanted to say something about praying in tongues before we go to the next point. Praying in tongues. You can put up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 to 4, then 14 and 15, then verse 18. Praying in other tongues. Now, why is this important? There is a difference, a gulf of difference between prayer in the Old Testament and prayer in the New Testament. Amen. Just like there's a difference between faith in the Old Testament and faith in the New Testament. I believe I taught on that here before. Faith in the Old Testament is somewhat like trust on God's promissory notes. Okay. God gives promises and then you trust that he's going to do it. Faith in the New Testament is a little different. Faith in the New Testament is primarily established on the fulfillment of the promises God gave in that he raised his son from the dead. Hallelujah. That means you are standing on something that is fulfilled. It's just like someone giving you a promise that I will send £10,000. You know he has the ability, you know he has the willingness, and he gives you a promise. I will send £10,000 to your dorm account in a week's time. Alright. Between today and that week's time, you can exercise faith and trust him. And you can even make plans because you trust the person's ability to do it and the person's willingness to do it. That was faith in the Old Testament. After 1 week, the person sends money to the account. Sends money to the account. The £10,000 is in your account, in the bank. And I meet you in church. You know, the faith before the money was sent. Now, you've not withdrawn the money, but the money is in your account. Oh, can I get an amen this morning? You guys don't like money here? You like money? All right, I see you in church. Let's say the money was sent. I'm meeting you 2 days after the money was sent. There is the faith you have about the £10,000 will be different from the faith you had when it was a promise. Yes, somebody get that? Yes, even though you've not gone to the bank to withdraw the money, I mean your confidence level is higher. Come on now. Yes, your confidence level is higher. That is the faith of the New Testament. That is the faith of the New Testament. The Bible says all of his promises he has fulfilled in that he raised Jesus from the dead. Powerful. The day Jesus was raised from the dead, God cashed all the promissory notes. Hallelujah. And made them available to us. Amen. Now, in the same vein, there is difference, a big difference between prayer in the Old Testament and prayer in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they prayed to God. One of the differences is very simple. They prayed to God with their only with their mother tongue. They just expressed their heart to God in a known language. Okay, they approached God. God heard them. But listen, the limitation is the limit will be the limitation of their minds and of their body. They didn't have a helper called the Holy Spirit. So if you're a Jew, you pray in Hebrew. If you're a Roman, you pray in Latin or in Roman language. And God hears you, but with a lot of limitation. The day the Holy Ghost came, he came with something special. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came from heaven, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house. And they appeared upon each and every one of them, cloven tongues as of fire. And everybody began to speak in tongues, including Holy Mary, Mother of God. Hallelujah. No, Mary spoke in tongues. She was part of the 500 in the upper room. Everybody began to speak in tongues, blasting in languages. And then, by the Spirit, the people who were outside heard them speaking their languages. Now let me tell you the dynamics of the spiritual things. It doesn't necessarily mean that James was speaking Spanish and then the Spanish guy said, oh, that's somebody speaking Spanish. Not necessarily. And I know what I'm telling you. Listen, interpretation of tongue is not translation of tongues. They are not the same thing. Meaning I can speak three words in tongues, and by the Spirit you can give an interpretation that is a whole page. A whole page full. Come on now. And I can speak in tongues many sentences and you are interpreting and it just forwards, 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 and you are correct because it's spiritual. Hallelujah. You know, many times measuring spiritual things with our natural parameters don't work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because many people have used that to argue that on the day of Pentecost, people were speaking Spanish and French and Yoruba and Igbo language. Not necessarily. Hallelujah. The Bible says the head. The head. Glory to God. So the prayer language came. And all through Acts of the Apostles, we see that when the Holy Ghost comes upon people, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Jesus talked about it. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues." One of the meanings of that is speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. A prayer language given to us in the New Testament to communicate from our heart to God. To go beyond the limitations of our minds, of our emotions, and of our bodies. To make light of it is to cheat yourself for no reason. Hallelujah. Meaning there are those who can't even speak in tongues, who believe they're speaking in tongues, but they don't take advantage of it. That's what I'm sharing with you. Should I take advantage of it? We're talking about chatting yourself. Verse 2 of that 1 Corinthians 14 says, "He that speaks in other tongues speak not unto men, but unto God." But unto God. He said, "For no man understands him, how big in the spirit he speak mysteries." He speak mysteries. What are mysteries? Hidden truths. That means when you spoke in tongues just now, you are speaking hidden truths. Truths that are hidden from the range of your mental comprehension. Truth, hidden truths. And sometimes when you spend time praying in other tongues, you'll be speaking truths about your health, about your marriage, about your finances, about your ministry, about your destiny, about your career. Sometimes about people you don't even know. We've seen that happen many times. As a student back in school, I used to spend time praying in other tongues. I moved to a new hostel, and oh boy, I lock up and pray and pray and pray. And then after a few months, something very dramatic, very significant happened. You know, there was a young boy who was around the same hostel, matured person, probably, I don't know what level he was then, and he came to me to share something very strange. He said, "Sir, I just felt I should share. This had happened, okay, and he had observed that the result was lasting. But it was strange to him because he didn't have the charismatic background. Very strange." He says, "Sir, I had a dream. You ministered to my mom. My mom had been terminally ill. And you ministered to my terminally ill, weak, on medication at that time. He says, you ministered to my mom in the dream. You laid hands on her and you prayed for her, and in the dream she got healed. She stood up and was walking. But this is the amazing thing. I noticed that after I had that dream, my mother began to amend and she got healed. I've been communicating with her. She got healed. She got well. I've observed, and I had to come and tell you this. Now, when did I was on my bed, maybe sleeping that night. How was that condition? Was it because God wanted to do it? No. Listen, God does nothing on earth without human participation. I'm sure by now you know that. Without the partnership of man. It wasn't just because God wanted her mother to be healed. I believe strongly that one of those days, speaking in tongues, I prayed it out. Now, that is beyond the range of my reasoning. That is beyond the range of my thinking. I wouldn't have thought it out. I didn't even really know the young man. I used to see his face. I didn't know his mom was sick. Hallelujah. Speaking mysteries. One of the things you should do this period of fasting and this period of January is to create time to pray in tongues. It's not optional. Create time to pray in tongues. And the beautiful thing about praying in tongues is you don't need to be localized all the time. You don't need to be localized to do it. Create time to pray in tongues. As a civil servant, as a business person, create time to pray in tongues. Put it in your schedule. You can keep watches if you can. Okay, saying 6, 12 and all that. But create time. The most important thing, every day create time to pray in other tongues. It will help you charge your battery. And it will have and many other impacts that I've not talked about. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. You generate power when you speak in tongues. You release the wisdom of God. Your spirit is catapulted to higher realms of wisdom. Higher realms of communication in the spirit. Sometimes, I have many stories as far as this is concerned. Sometimes you save people from danger without knowing. Sometimes loved ones, sometimes yourself. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I was meditating on something about 2 years ago, and it occurred to me that practically in every denomination on earth, there are people that speak in tongues, including Roman Catholic. And God spoke to me. He says, this means nobody has an excuse. Nobody can say, where I was born. Do I have a witness to what I just said? That in every denomination, people speak in tongues. In fact, there are Catholic priests that speak in tongues. Have you seen them? I heard one many years ago. I was inspired. I said, I looked. I said, is that a priest? I think it was a crusade also with his regalia. Mebo lagaba se brando kebaya. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You spend time speaking in tongues. Remember what we said on Tuesday or Sunday? Sometimes it will begin as a decision. In fact, most times it should begin as a decision. And continues as a discipline until it becomes a delight. So you pray and pray and pray, and you are just feeling a heavy jaw and a dry mouth. Continue with the word of God on your mind, all the visions that God has shown you on your mind, with a heart for the Lord on your mind, continue. You will hit a gusher. You will hit a gusher. Papa Hagen talks about hitting the gusher. That's Kenneth Hagen. And at that point, it becomes a delight. Most times, that's when you receive interpretation to what you've been saying. And sometimes the interpretations come as prophecies. As prophecies. You hear yourself saying, I'm unstoppable. With the anointing of God's Spirit. You hear yourself saying, I leap over words. You hear yourself saying, unstoppable enlargement. My coast is enlarged. Now it's different. It's not the regular talking. The words are coming with high energy. You are speaking high energy words. High energy level words. Spend time praying in tongues. If you don't have that the gift, and don't say, okay, it's a gift for some people. At this service, I will not be able to answer questions. Okay, if you're ready to get for you, the Holy Ghost, after the service, you can meet go to the overflow and meet any of the ministers that will be attending to the first timers and talk to them. They'll get with you with the Holy Ghost. If you have some questions, I believe I've attempted to answer some of the questions. But pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. We generate power for progress. We generate infrastructures for progress when we pray in other tongues. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? It's not time wasted. You will succeed. You will condition your spirit for strength. For vitality, for vigor. Vigor. Spiritual vigor. Spiritual vigor. Your spirit man is strong. You are not bending. You're unyielding to the wind, to the contrary winds. The Bible says, don't be weary well doing, for in due season you shall reap. Remember, if you faint not. That spiritual vigor will help you not to faint before manifestation comes. Hallelujah. Okay, quickly, let's jump to the fourth thing. What's prayer designed for? Number four, the establishment of your victory through spiritual warfare. The establishment of your victory through spiritual warfare, meaning prayer is a platform for establishing your victory through spiritual warfare. Now let me explain that. You know, there are people that don't believe in spiritual warfare. There are Christians that don't believe in spirit. We believe in spiritual warfare because of scripture. What you need to understand is what spiritual warfare is. Again, like I said last week Sunday, every concept Satan has sponsored religion. There are those who have religious approach or emotional approach to it, and it doesn't work. Hallelujah. The fastest way to cheat believers of the power of any principle and concept is to bring religion and emotions to it. Amen. So I'm aware that there are those who are out of the boundaries of God's word. Listen, every truth, every practice of scripture must be done within the boundaries of God's word. Meaning, you can't bring your ideologies into it. You can't bring what you feel about it into it. It must happen between the boundary of the word of God. Hallelujah. The boundary of the word of God. So spiritual warfare is scriptural. But in the New Testament, warfare is not trying to defeat the devil. Warfare is not trying to defeat the world. Warfare is not trying to defeat your flesh. Because according to the revelations of scriptures, the flesh has been defeated. Satan has been defeated. The world has been defeated. Hallelujah. And the victory has been obtained. But don't forget that Satan and his demons are rebels. Are rebels. In every land, there are established laws. But you see, you can be sure that everybody will abide by the laws. This is why we have law enforcement agencies. So spiritual warfare is about being God's law enforcement agents on the earth. That's why we call it enforcing your victory. Enforcing your victory. It's been obtained. Enforcing your victory. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It said by saying, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand all the wiles of the enemy. That's our warfare in the New Testament. Stand against his wiles. He used the word wiles, meaning stratagems, meaning ideologies, dogmas, thinking systems, thinking patterns, his cunning craftiness. That's warfare. Hallelujah. So in prayer, you exercise authority over rebellious spirits. You exercise authority over rebellious circumstances. And you ensure the bend to the prescription of God's word. That's spiritual warfare in the New Testament. Bending to the prescription of God's word. Prayer is a platform for enforcing that victory in spiritual warfare. The psalmist talks about it in Psalm 145 from verse 6 down to 9. He says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths. And the two-edged sword in their hands. To execute vengeance also upon the people and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. He says to execute the written judgments. That means the judgment is written. That by his stripes you were healed. And then you are having feeling migraine headaches. Execute the written judgment. Oh, hallelujah. Am I talking? There's a written judgment that your children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. So a child is acting to act wayward consistently. It's probably under the influence of the God of this world. What do? You execute the written judgment. You enforce your victory. You know, I talk about prayer for victory. You know, sometimes when you pray like that, your tone is different. It's different from prayer for vision. It's different from prayer of worship and fellowship. Your tone is different. This one, sometimes you pray and it's as though you are backing in prayer. You pray and it's as though you are backing in prayer. Listen though, at every phase, you must have times where you deal with Satan and his obstacles. And his resisting influences. Are you listening to me? Is it me? I have an agreement with Satan. I don't disturb him. You are lying. You are pal with Satan. Don't you know that he's anointed to trouble you? That's his calling. That's his calling. So once in a while you see him hanging around at different levels. What do? You execute the written judgment. There's nothing like, listen, there's nobody that Satan doesn't disturb once in a while. Do you understand? You can see him trying to, except you are not progressing. Listen, let me tell you something. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of it shall not prevail. That means the church ought to be a moving force, both at individual level and at the corporate level, an advancing force. And as you advance, he will come. Oh, he will come. Oh, you are designing a program to liberate people from ignorance. I think Satan will not come. You are designing a program to shine the light of God's word in a city, to empower God's people. You think Satan will not come? He will come. That's why I get surprised when people sing foolish song. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Satan, why do you worry me? Seriously? But what does that song even mean? What does it say? Why do you worry me? I'm a child of God. Who should he worry? He should worry his own children. Hallelujah. In prayer, we establish our victory on the platform of spiritual warfare. Don't cry for the devil. Don't give him a foothold around you. Be a spiritually violent Christian. Violent. If you are sick all the time, reject it, refuse it. Be violent. See, God loves fighters. Paul says, fight. There's nothing wrong with fighting. Fight. Don't just give up and close up. Fight. Unleash your faith. Fight. Unleash your faith. Fight. God loves fighters. Are you listening to me? We are kingdom warriors. You don't just let Satan have freeway around you and say, Lord, why me, Lord? No. Fight. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight. Be a violent Christian. Malakapato suta. Be a violent Christian. You say, no more sick days. No more broke days. No more oppression. Whatever it is, this level, no more. I take a hold, and then you fight in the face of the opposition, and you stand until the expected manifestation happens. I mean, the portion that means, even if there are things that will take 3 years to come true, 4 years to come true, 5 years, never change your posture. There's no retreat. Have you not discovered that the armor of God that Paul talks about, nothing covers your back? Everything is in front. The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the helmet of salvation, the shoe of resurrection, the gospel, the belt of righteousness. That means it's for advancement. Nothing is for your back. When you turn back, nothing is for there. Are you listening to me? Nothing covers there. See, I ain't turning back. Glory to God. Be violent. Oh, I heard a man of God say this and he blessed me. I don't know if I said it. He wanted to vomit. Symptoms everywhere, and he was declaring, wanted to vomit. He said, go back and go through where you're supposed to go through. This is for eating. Glory to God. He did not, he couldn't vomit. Hallelujah. You know, that's the picture of violence. Picture of violence. Picture of violence. Sometimes it comes out unexpectedly because your spirit has been soaking God's word. It's been soaking. When you soak a sponge with a liquid, applying pressure, what is inside will come out. It's not something else that will come out. The spirit has been soaking. A doctor told a Christian, he says, you have this type of cancer, and usually there's 6 months to live. He looked at, he said, to leave my wife and children for who? I'm surprised that was okay, but he said, to leave her for who? Shouted. Amen. Please don't terrorize doctors. They are doing their work. Amen. Let me protect my constituency. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But be violent. Violent with your faith. In prayer. So it's not all the time you are doing Father, Lord, Jesus, Lord God. Sulebe. Every time this is prayer, you are weak. No. There are times you let the anger of the Lord rise from within you in prayer. Glory to God. You let the holy, we call it holy anger, right? You let it rise from within you. You pray in the spirit until your hand get a hold of that sword. Listen, you know, that same Ephesians 6 talks about the sword of the spirit, which is the rhema of God. The sword of the spirit. So you pray. The next verse says, praying always. You pray, and then your hand, you know, you have spiritual hands. Your hand gets a hold of the sword. There's a word for that situation. Your hand gets a hold of it. Then you use it to war. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. All right, number five. Prayer is designed to expose you to the atmosphere of God's presence. Write it. The atmosphere of God's presence. Now, I'm saying this so that you know, as we fast and we have times of prayer, and even through the year, what happens? Remember, I said Sunday that a lot of people think prayer is boring, and they joke with prayer because of the view they have. Their view is religious. And when you do something and there's no results, I mean, you don't bother yourself. But when you know the results, the benefit, the inspirations of the practice of prayer, you won't treat it lightly. That's why I'm going through all this. You won't treat it lightly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Number five, I said prayer is designed to expose you to the atmosphere of God's presence. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the angel of God's presence. Are you aware? That means the Holy Spirit that brings to us the presence of God. And prayer affords us the opportunity to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because listen, actually in prayer you are, there's no better way to put it, you are exposed to the presence of God. Prayer, maybe prayer of worship, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of petition, prayer in tongues, there's an exposure to the presence of God. Serious exposure to the presence of God. Have you noticed that most times when you tarry in prayer, even in corporate prayer, you notice that the atmosphere begins to change. In personal prayer times, the same thing. The atmosphere begins to change. Atmosphere begins to change. And of course, it happens at different levels. As I drew and as I sojourned with God, there are times in prayer that I can sit down, open my eyes, and the whole room is smoky. I'm not seeing vision. The whole room is smoke. Nothing is bad. I'll just sit down there and be looking. Hallelujah. Now that's a physical manifestation of His presence. But it doesn't even have to be physical. You can sense it. Your heart can feel it. Sometimes your body can feel it. Can sense it. Somebody says, is that important? Yes. That presence is important. It's part of the building block of your spirit. David says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. Appearing in His glory talks about His manifest presence, His tangible presence. He says, now the Lord is our spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's liberty. There's liberty. There's a liberty of spirit. There's a liberty of experience that the presence of God brings, that the atmosphere of His presence brings. That is where you get things that you did not even ask for. Isaiah talks about it. He said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heaven, that thou wouldest come down. He said, as of when the smoking water, he said, the fire causes the water to boil. Talking about the presence. He said, the mountains melting, right? Then the fire causes the water to boil. He said, when thou these terrible things that we look not for. Verse 3. When thou these terrible things. I mean, you did things we did not look for. Why? The presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God. Hallelujah. It's not something to be goofy about. It's not something to be goofy about. You just prayed and you're entering your car. Said the Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit, you sit here. And then you're driving. You want to pick, so don't sit there. The Holy Spirit is sitting there. Don't sit there. No, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a conscience of His presence. Who told you that's the seat? His seat is your heart. Hallelujah. His seat is your heart. Amen. Are you getting blessed? Let's briefly talk about fasting and then we'll pray. We'll pray together. Talk about fasting. Isaiah 58. Very quickly. Isaiah 58. Fasting. Are we ready? Are we ready? Amen. Let's talk about fasting. Remember, we're talking about prayer, fasting, and giving. The threefold call for dominion. Right? Where do we start off? Wherefore, now when you get home, read the whole chapter. That's 1 to 14, right? But I will just highlight certain things. What is fasting? What is fasting? Let me just say this. Fasting is basically a principle of abstinence. Alright? And the range of the abstinence is beyond food. Hallelujah. But of course, just food is the most obvious one. Hallelujah. So never forget that every time we talk about fasting, know that we are talking about the principle of abstinence. Is that okay? For it's abstinence for the purpose of focus, communion, and spiritual growth. abstinence for the purpose of what? Focus, communion, and spiritual growth. All right, so that should come to your mind. And now, when I share more, you understand why I had to use that word. That means every time you talk about prayer and fasting, you must honor the principle of abstinence. So it's not... Now, one of the postures you must take when you are fasting is that of consecration, right? And that means you cannot just do. Do you understand? You cannot just do the regular things. I mean, I'm not saying your chores and the basic thing. I'm talking about the regular things that violate the laws of abstinence. You understand what I mean? So abstinence from food, from pleasure, okay, from secular things, from... I mean, you can decide it. We'll go into the types of fast. So that is the basic principle. It's scriptural. It started from the Old Testament. It also finds its way into the New Testament. And Jesus taught that when you fast, amen. One day somebody came and says, your disciples don't fast. He says, why would they fast? The bridegroom is still with them. When he leaves, they will fast. Brothers and sisters, the bridegroom has gone to heaven. As our representation. Hallelujah. There are people that don't believe in fasting. There are people that don't believe in fasting. Glory to God. Paul talked about fasting. The early church fasted. Paul talked about fasting. You remember that? He's even separated it from hunger. He says in fastings often, in hunger often, among false brethren. No one was talking about his peril, his experience as a minister of the gospel. So the early church fasted. Paul talked about fasting. Jesus talked about fasting. Jesus fasted. Amen. That Isaiah 58, you can start from verse 6. You can just put verse 6 up. We'll read from there. Jesus fasted. When you go to church history, people fasted. Amen. Now, one of the principles of living a productive Christian life or kingdom life on earth is looking up to those who have gone ahead. Amen. Especially those who have good report. The Bible says, considering the end of their conversation. Conversation there is King James of saying manner of life. Amen. Considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning their life has proven that Jesus is consistent. You understand? The outcome of their life is a proof that Jesus is consistent. That the word of God is consistent. That's what they say. A major principle, don't forget that. Don't believe those who say, as a Christian, you only read the Bible. You only read the Bible. Somebody saw someone with Kenneth Higgins, but he said, what are you doing with that book? I received directly from God. I say, he's lost. You are saying, wow, there are teachings like that around town. And they now feel deep and sound deep, and they are struggling. They are struggling. Confusing people. He said, whose faith follow? Hebrews chapter 13, I believe. He said, whose faith? From verse 6. He was talking about those who have the rule over you. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation. Verse 8. Whose faith follow? When he says follow their faith, he's not talking about follow their corresponding actions. So you hear a man of God, or you hear a Christian saying, I needed a car that day, so I went to the car shop and I said, this car is mine today in the name of Jesus. And I stood there and somebody came and wanted the same car, and I said, no, I've chosen this guy. He said, okay, choose any other car you want, I'll pay for it. He didn't even know I didn't come with money. And brethren, I just picked a car and I have the car today. You know, that's an action of faith. Now, when the Bible says whose faith follow, he's not saying go to a car shop. You will be shocked. No, you'll be amazed at what they will do to you there. He's not saying go to a car shop and repeat the same exercise. Now, you are laughing now. Many Christians think that is what it means to follow the faith of others. No. 1,000 times no. That's not what it is. Following the faith of others doesn't mean copy their corresponding action. No, sir. It means obtain the revelation with which they acted. That's the first thing. Because the revelation is the title deed that produces the corresponding action. So when you get the revelation, now the revelation will guide you for now to express for the manifestation that you desire. Glory to God. You say, this person had sugar disease, had diabetes, and she just said she's giving testimony. Just said, I just told myself no more drugs, or she just said the word came to me. No, sometimes people don't hear that part of the illumination that happened in their hearts. And she said, for 2 years now, I'm not taking my diabetes, and my blood sugar is normal. Everybody shouts. And somebody in church hears, who has diabetes, hears that. She said, and then if I as a pastor say, we can make you awesome. I said, the same God that did for her will do it for you. You say, amen. You go home, you throw away the drugs. Without title deed, I'm serious. Casey Price calls it presumption and foolishness. That's presumption. So you go home, you throw away the drugs. 3 days they have to admit you because the blood sugar escalated. Now question, is it because God is not faithful? That's not what we are saying. Is it because God doesn't heal? That's not what we are saying. Is it because God doesn't honor faith? That's not what we are saying. God honors faith. But when we say God honors faith, know that God honors his word that was acted upon. Not a corresponding action copied. Hallelujah. Whose faith followed? So if he says, whose faith follow? Watch the men of faith, they fast. That's where I'm going with all the talk. They fast. I fast. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a man of faith. And I fast. I have faith receipts. There are many. There are too many. Things that faith has obtained supernaturally. Without external support systems. I fast. There are many men of faith here seated. You fast. Glory to God. Women of faith seated. They fast. Hallelujah. Remember I said it's the principle of abstinence. Kinds of fast. Very quickly. There can be a day fast. Which is day that usually means 12 hours. Could be abstinence from food, water and pleasure. For the 12 hours. Okay. Now why do we fast? Let me just give you a few things. Why do we fast? Why do we fast? The first thing you should know is this. We add fasting to prayer to conquer the limitations of the mind and of the body. The limitations. Most times your body can fight you, your mind can fight you when you are praying or when you are pleading God for something. To conquer the limitations of the mind and of the body. To conquer the limitations. Doubts, unbelief. You are praying, but your heart is telling you in a lie. You know, go happen. A lie. Like, oh God, it is written. Your heart is in a lie to happen. Amen. Do I have a witness in the house? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, when you add fasting, you conquer that limitation. Glory to God. There's a subduing. Malekeposa. You know, we will read it. He said, your light shall break forth speedily. Your night shall become like the noonday. That's revelation. Light. The flood of light. Unbelief cannot stand that explosion of light in your heart. No, you can't stand it. Fear cannot stand it. Amen. You conquer those limitations at the soulish level when you add fast. Hallelujah. Very important. So it's not just because you are punishing your body so that God can be pleased. Actually, it's not just so. It's not because fasting is not to punish your body so that God can be pleased. No, sir. No, ma. Majorly, you conquer the limitations of your body and of your mind. Haven't you noticed that when you fast, you feel light? Amen. You feel light. especially towards evening, when you want to pray now, there's an unusual focus you gain when you're fasting. And let me add this now. There are postures. Write it as postures to take when you're fasting. Or we'll still get to the Isaiah. Postures to take when you're fasting. I've mentioned already. Take a posture of consecration. Take a posture of consecration. You can't say today I'm fasting, and then 6 a.m. because you're on leave. 6 a.m. you just woke up. 6 a.m. you have put a movie to watch. You are not obeying the laws of abstinence, the principle of abstinence. Glory to God. There must be a posture of consecration. Is that okay? It's a mental thing. Okay, mental posture. You just not okay. There must be this disposition of consecration when you fast. When you fast. So it's not about the days are passing and you're not eating food. That's why I extended the boundaries of the abstinence. Amen. A posture of consecration. Even when you are breaking the fast, there must be a posture of consecration. You don't eat all the food you did not eat from morning till evening. You just sit down, bring everything, you finish the juice, you just to cover up. Say, it's been a serious day, bros. It's been a very serious day. Eating without style, eating without reservation, without, do you understand? Amen. There's a piety to the oppression. That's what I'm saying. Do you understand? There's a piety to the practice. There's a piety. Glory to God. There's a piety. So a posture of consecration. Very quickly, my time is almost up. Number two. Did I finish talking about kinds of fasting? Sorry, let me go there. I say a day fast. Number two, prolonged fast, which could be 3 days, a week, months, years. But let me add a disclaimer here. Every time you are doing prolonged fast, it must be guided by wisdom. Amen. Because of the potential damage it can do to your body. It must be guided and guarded by the wisdom of God. We do not encourage prolonged fast after 3 days without taking water. Okay, let me put it this way. If you are doing, I classify that as Esther fast. Okay, dry fast or Esther fast. That's the 3 days. But if you are doing prolonged fast, 1 week, 40 days, usually you should break at night. Okay, or in the evening, you should take something to help your body go through. And don't forget, it must be something that God has impressed or instructed and must be guided by the wisdom of God. That's why I don't believe in that fruits fast. No fruits long fast. There's somebody who died 2 years ago. Somewhere in the Middle East. I won't call the city. Some of you have heard about it. He's a man of God. He's a young man of God. Amen. He died. The autopsy showed some form of hyponatremia, and I can explain what that means. Amen. Fruit does not have sodium. It doesn't have electrolytes. Do you understand? Fruit does not have electrolytes. It really pained me because it was clear. Fruits don't have electrolytes. Better taking Sprite self, or adding something like Sprite. Fruits do not have electrolytes. So a prolonged fast just on fruits can supply the vitamins and the but no electrolytes, and that was what killed him. The doctors I had knows what hyponatremia does. Prolonged like that, just died, just slumped. Amen. Heaven will welcome him, but doesn't mean he's done with his assignments on the earth. Do you understand? That's what I talk about. Very because I know some of you love God seriously, and you want to break into the anointing. You want to break into that apostolic call of God on your life, and I'm serious about this. And so, wisdom, guidance, hallelujah. Don't forget, your fasting is not to please God, it's not to overcome the unwillingness of God, it's to position you to receive. Hallelujah! Glory to God. So, prolonged fast 1 week, you break it, and then flu. Now, Esther fast is the third type, I call it Esther fast. 3 days, dry fast. You can even do water if you feel dehydrated. Hallelujah. Is that okay? They can be fluid and fruit fast. Okay, that's still extended period of time. Some other forms of fast. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And then you can fast from other things. Fast from entertainment. Fast from social media. Fast. Amen. Some of you need that fast right now. Glory to God. Say this month or this week, I'm fasting and combating the time. You heard the statistics. Was it yesterday? That Nigerian NCC, right? Give the statistics that Nigerians spend 197 billion naira on data, internet data, every month. Every month. Every month. Hallelujah. And it is said also that the average young adult or adult Nigeria spends 5 hours online every day. Amen. The question is doing what? I think that's the most important thing. We can spend it online learning, getting an education. We can also spend in getting distracted. Amen. So sometimes you can fast from that. So back to the posture. I said the posture of consecration. Number two, it must be a posture of contact with the Word of God. So that it's not charismatic affliction. Alright, so have contact with the Word of God, with books, with messages, alright. With material study, because that's how the light breaks. Amen. Number three, a posture of worship. Okay, deep worship. Most times this is what I do. My phones, my tablets, my laptop has, I have playlists. Amen. It's a practice I've done for many years and it helps. You have playlists. Okay. It can be in your office, but a very, very, very sublime volume. You understand? I mean, a low volume that can be penetrating at that sublime level. You understand? Subliminal level, they call it. Amen. Or you can be walking, not be a public, but the volume is so low, it's not disturbing anybody. But your heart is connected to it. Amen. So you post your word, and then if you have time and you're alone, my goodness, that should make it so. The worship should run. Just let it keep running. It does something to your heart. We call it setting a trap for your. You remember? Hallelujah. Okay, meditation, a posture of meditation, thinking and planning, very important. And lastly, you have to pray. You have to pray. When you're fasting, you should pray. Hallelujah. You should pray. You should find time to pray in other tongues. Amen. Isaiah 58, I think I'll continue on Tuesday. Okay, I'll continue on Tuesday. There's a lot to say from that Isaiah 58. But let go to verse 8. We'll just read verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. Have you been blessed this morning? Alright, so we're going to pray. Just read verse 8. Verse 6. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? So there's a fast that the Lord has chosen. It means there's a fast he has not chosen. You understand why I was saying the things I was saying? Is this not the fast I have chosen? That means there's a fast he has not chosen. Religious fast, emotional fast. He has not chosen. He has not chosen. I just want to tell you to see that. There's a fast he has not chosen. So don't send yourself. You read in the Bible that Moses did 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah did 40 days and 40. Even Jesus did 40 days and 40 nights. And you say, Lord, I burnt my bridges. I'm going on 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe on Tuesday, I would explain that 40-day fast. Amen. Supernatural fast. I'll talk about supernatural fast. Hallelujah. So you too, you launch 40 days, 40 nights, no water, no food. You may run into troubles. Amen. You may run into troubles. Is that okay? You may run into troubles. You don't just do things out of seek knowledge, seek understanding. Where was Moses when he spent 40 days and 40 nights? Where was he? He was in the direct presence of God. The last thing you'll be thinking about is food. He was in the manifest, the shadow. This literal covered him. That means you can say that his body was suspended. Natural laws were suspended. Are you listening to me? What about Elijah? Elijah ate food baked by an angel. And he went in the strength of that food. It's not your normal bread, rice and stew that he ate. Angel baked the bread. So he ate an angel food. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that food.
You understand? Glory to God. Amen. Jesus did 40 days and 40 nights. He was driven of the spirits into the wilderness. Too fast. Eh? Rise up, let's pray. I'm sure somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. Some people have run mad trying to fast. Run mad. Somebody bet you what they, you know, somebody be to tell you God told you to trek to Lokoja. You know there's trouble. All those long trekking, the Lord told me I should just walk by the road. You know there's trouble. There's trouble. Hallelujah. There's trouble. There's trouble. There's trouble. You know, sometimes pastors, you don't deny them, you try. You see, because somebody is in psychiatry hospital. He said this is a member of Hallelujah. So hear word, oh, hear word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands toward heaven. Amen. We'll pray certain scriptures, but just thank the Lord for His great word. His great word. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we adore you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify you forever. We exalt you, our King. We love you eternally. We love you eternally. Can you let your heart go out to Him this morning? Can you let your heart go out to Him in worship, in praise, in adoration, in admiration?
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.